Turn to Luke chapter 2. It's a familiar passage. We have just read it at Christmas time, but we want to read it again and meditate upon this passage, and in particular, verse 14. Luke chapter 2. Let me read to you from verse 10, verse 14. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Not too long ago, on Christmas Day, we have heard, and we have sang these wonderful words found in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And this is something that we enjoy hearing, don't we? There's good news here. Jesus here has come to bring peace on earth, as we read in verse 14. But if we turn to Luke chapter 12, we find Jesus saying something quite different. You turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 51. Says here, Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. On the one hand, in Luke chapter 2, we find the angels announcing peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And then here in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, we find the Lord Jesus saying, No, I have not come to bring peace on earth, but rather division. There will be no peace. And we are told in verse 52, For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. And the father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. No peace. Is there a contradiction here? Many will jump on this verse and say, here, there is a mistake. Is there a mistake here in the scriptures? And if there's a mistake, who made the mistake? Was it the angels who sang, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men? Or did Jesus make the mistake when he said, No, I've not come to bring peace? Who made the mistake? Of course, there is no mistake in the Bible whatsoever. We who believe in God's perfect word believe that the Bible is incapable of error and has absolutely no mistakes. Both statements are true. And if both statements are true, then how do we explain these two passages that seem to disagree or to contradict? Yes, Jesus indeed came to bring peace into this world, as the angels had sung 2,000 years ago. That is true, very true. But we must know that peace will only come when certain conditions are met. And so what are these conditions? The answers are found in the Bible. And the Bible is our sole and supreme authority of our faith and practice. And so we go to the scriptures to find our answers. So what are these conditions that must be met before we can have peace on earth? We can only have peace, and peace will only come when we first make peace with God. Peace will only come when we first make peace with God. The people in the world today are looking for peace. The leaders of the world, they want world peace. Peace in the world, peace at home, peace at work, peace at play. And peace in church. How many of us here do not desire for peace? All of us want peace. But everyone will find it that it is in vain to seek peace on this earth by ourselves. And the reason why there is no peace anywhere on earth, no peace in this world, no peace at home, at work, or in the church, is because of this simple fact of life, described in a three-letter word. That word is sin, S-I-N, sin. We are a sinful people living in a sin-cursed world. And that is why there is no peace in our life. No peace in this world. And that's why we need a Savior. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why there is a first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to be our Savior. And that's why His name is Jesus. And Jesus means Savior. For He has come to save His people from their sins. And that we read in Matthew 1:21. So in order to have peace, we must be reconciled to God. We must make peace with God. Have we made peace with God? Are we born again? And some of you might get upset with me. Why do you keep telling me that I must be born again? Why do you keep preaching that we must be born again? We already know this. Don't you have something new to say? Some of us may think like this. You know, Dr. Harry Ironside, a great preacher, was once asked by a member of the church. And this member asked him, "Pastor, last time you came to preach to us, you preach, you must be born again. Now that you have visited us again, still you preach, you must be born again. Why do you keep preaching to us, you must be born again?" And Dr. Ironside answered, "Because you must be born again." I do not want to take for granted and assume that every one of us here is born again. Some of us may have come to church and may have been attending church for many years. Some of us may be born into Christian homes. Some of us may be schooled in a mission school. We have heard the gospel, but are we born again? Why do I say this? Why am I concerned? Because only recently, on Christmas Eve, I met one of my Sunday school students. I taught him about 20 years ago. I spent a whole year with this class, and he was one of the students. And I went through the fundamentals of the Christian faith with him. And I asked him, "Where are you now?" He says, "Oh, I'm worshiping in a Roman Catholic church." And that's because I enjoy participating in the Mass. And the Mass is a superstitious and idolatrous ceremony where Christ is crucified all over again each time the Mass is observed. And then they worship the wafer, the bread,
and the elements. And he says he enjoys it. It pains my heart to hear him say that. It saddens my heart. And I had to tell him directly, you must be born again. Some of us may have heard the word of God, but we have never understood what it meant. Some of us may have heard the gospel, but we have never known the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when the Lord Jesus speaks, we cannot recognize his voice. And I was quite strict and stern with him. And I told him, you must be born again. You may not be saved, I told him. And I said, I don't want your blood to be on my head. Now I have to warn you right now, lovingly, you might repent, be born again, and worship in a true church, not in a false church. Only the Lord can speak to his heart and convict him and convert him. I pray that may be the case. But we have to examine ourselves. Are we born again? Because if we are not born again, we have not made peace with God, then it is in vain to find peace anywhere in the world. We will have no peace in our life and in our hearts. How we thank God that the Lord Jesus had indeed come, and he had come to bring peace on earth, to give us peace, to do the work of salvation. He, the virgin-born Son of God, lived a sinless life so that he might be the Lamb of God without spot and blemish to take away the sin of the world. How Jesus died on the cross, shed his precious blood for us, and how he rose from the dead. Do you understand the gospel? Have you heard it? And if you've heard the gospel, will you not believe it and surrender your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sin and believe on him and make peace with God? Why would we want God to be angry with us? Why would we want to face the wrath of God? Doesn't make sense. The Lord Jesus had come, and he had come to be our perfect Savior, and he has given to us perfect salvation. And he says, believe, be born again, be reconciled to God. How? It's only by faith, not by works, not anything that we can do, not our good works, which are to God as filthy rags. It's by faith and by faith alone. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you have this peace with God? If we want to have peace on earth, we must first have peace with God. Have we made peace with God? And if we have peace with God, then we will experience this peace that passes all understanding, which we have just read in Philippians chapter 4. Have you experienced this peace that passes all understanding? In this very sinful and sin-cursed world with many, many troubles and difficulties, we can have this peace that comes from above, a peace that passes all understanding, that will guard and keep our minds and our hearts so that we don't go insane or we don't have suicidal feelings because we face so much troubles in this world. But we find this kind of a supernatural strength so that we will have a sound mind and a peaceful heart that will carry us through the storms of life, fixing our eyes only on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you experienced this kind of peace before? You can only have this peace that passes all understanding, that will keep our hearts and our minds, if you first make peace with God when we are reconciled to Him. But what Jesus said is also true. Once we have peace with God and make peace with God, we will become enemies of this world. We will become enemies of Satan. And Satan is the god of this world. You know, in James chapter 4, verse 4, we are told, "Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." If you are a friend of the world, you automatically become an enemy of God. But the reverse is also true. If you become a friend of God, you automatically become an enemy of the world. And if the world is your enemy, because you have befriended God, you have made peace with God, you are a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can expect many trials and testings, many difficulties and hardships, for the world will hate you. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a sincere believer, and you say, "Lord, I want to obey your word. I want to live a godly life. I want to be Christ-like. I want to bear a good testimony for you. I want to be the salt and light of this world." The world will hate you. A Christian life is not a bed of roses. There'll be many obstacles, many hardships. Did not Jesus himself say this? In John chapter 15, verse 18 to 20, let me read to you. The Lord Jesus said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." And that's why Jesus said, "I have not come to bring peace on earth, but rather division." Because if you want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will stand opposed to the world, and the world will go against you, and the world will hate you. How many of us here are first-generation Christians? We come from idolatrous families or backgrounds, and you have believed on Lord Jesus Christ, and when you went back home and told your parents, "I've become a Christian," have you suffered persecution? Well, no peace. There's no peace on earth. Why? Because of these two reasons. Two E's. Because of evil and error. That's why there's no peace on earth. Because of evil and error that is in this world. They are in this world. How can there be peace when the evils of corruption and immorality and terrorism exist? How can there be peace when errors such as liberalism, evolutionism, ecumenism, postmodernism, neo-evangelicalism, charismatism, neo-fundamentalism, and all kinds of false isms prevail in this world? With so much evil and so much error in this world, there can be no peace in this world. But nonetheless, did not God promise peace on earth and goodwill toward men? Yes, he did. So will we ever experience such peace? When will this peace come? And this will bring me to my second point. Peace will only come when the Prince of Peace returns. Peace will only come when the Prince of Peace returns. You know, our beloved pastor,
sent out a Christmas letter. I wonder whether you have received it. And if you have read the Christmas letter, he had already sounded the alarm. And in the Christmas letter, let me read to you what he wrote. He said this: "We are now celebrating the first coming of Christ, his birth. Now, the more important factor is about his second coming. The leaders of the world are everywhere talking peace, which gives us no sense of urgency. But if Jesus Christ is coming again, there will be wars and rumors of wars. And we are more alert to his second coming. It will not be such a peaceful Christmas." How true. We are constantly plagued by corruption and terrorism, aren't we? Consider the recent crackdown in Myanmar. And just a few days ago, the assassination in Pakistan that has turned the whole country upside down. And the rest of the world is not at rest or at peace either. Unrest everywhere. Wars and rumors of wars. We are living the last days. There'll be no peace. They may cry, "Peace, peace." If there's no peace, sudden destruction comes. But the world is looking for peace. You know, last month, my family and I, we were in New York City. And we took the opportunity to visit the United Nations. The headquarters is there. And a Singapore diplomat to the UN was kind enough to show us around. And while he was showing us around, he said that his special mission in the UN concerns disarmament. His job is to persuade the nations or the countries to disarm, to get rid of the weapons. And I said to him, "You have a mission that is mission impossible. You will fail. You will not succeed." He's a Christian. He says, "Yes, I know." Yes, the nations will try to find peace in their own human, ways, but they will not find peace at all. You'll find it in vain, because peace can only come by divine power, not human power, by divine power, God's power, not any human strength or strategy can bring us this peace. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, can bring true and lasting peace to this world. And when will he do it? Yes, the angels did sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We can have this peace right now when we make peace with God. And he will give us this peace that passes all understanding as we walk closely with him, despite all the troubles in life. And this perfect peace on earth will one day come. And it will come only when the Prince of Peace returns, when the Lord Jesus comes again, in all his power, in all his glory. And he will judge the nations. And all the nations will bow, will kowtow before him. And then when they submit to his rulership, his kingship, and his authority, then there will be peace on earth for 1,000 years. And we who are his saints, who are believers, will reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. And it will come. And in light of what Jesus had taught us in Matthew 24, considering the signs of the times, I believe that will happen very soon. The prophecy in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 must be fulfilled. Let us turn to Isaiah chapter 2. "Will there be peace on earth? There will be peace on earth, as the angel said in Luke 2, verse 14. And it will happen only when Jesus rules over this whole earth. And he will sit on the throne of his father, David.
in the holy city of Jerusalem, and he will reign out of Jerusalem. Israel will become the number one nation of the world. And then he will bring peace on earth at that time. You look at Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Let us read it in unison. Let us read together this prophecy and promise in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Let us read. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. No national service, for sure, during the millennium, when Christ reigns on earth. No need to carry any rifle, throw any grenade. All these weapons of war will be melted down and will be turned into farming instruments. Can this happen under a human ruler? Under a sinful ruler? Of course not. Everybody has war in his heart. Only the Prince of Peace can come and perform this and do this. And he will do it when he comes again. He will come again. He will fulfill his promise. This prophecy concerns the second coming of Christ in the last days. As much as we know, all the prophecies concerning Christ's first coming have all been fulfilled. We know that the second coming prophecy, when Jesus returns and establishes peace on earth and rule over this earth, the whole world from Jerusalem, will also come to pass. And I believe, as our pastor, they will come soon. We are not children of darkness. As believers, we are children of light because we have the light of the scriptures. And the Bible tells us in so many places the signs to look out for so that we might discern the signs of the times, know that Jesus Christ is coming back very soon, at any moment, and how we must be prepared for his coming. So are you looking forward to the second coming of Christ? I pray we are. The year is about to end, a new year is coming. We are a year nearer to the second coming of Christ. The Lord may come back tonight. At the stroke of midnight, he may come. He may come tomorrow. May come at any time next year. He can come at any moment. Are we looking forward to his coming? Are we building treasures on earth or treasures in heaven? If we are building our treasures on earth, it will all be burned up when Jesus returns. How we must remind ourselves at the end of this year, the close of this year, we must build treasures in heaven. Have we wasted our time building treasures on earth in the year that has gone by? Let us not build our treasures on earth where moth and rust will destroy. Let us build our treasures in heaven. Now that the economy is up and we are getting rich, getting pay increases, are we chasing after the mighty dollar? Are we lusting for the material things of this world? Are we pursuing for money and property? More money, more property. And we think that all these things will give us happiness. I want fame and fortune. That is my ambition. If we find ourselves pursuing all these things, dear friends, next year will not be a peaceful year for you. We will find ourselves without peace if we pursue all these things. We'll be full of anxiety and worry. We'll be full of envy and jealousy, full of selfish ambition and strife. And all these things will not bring peace in our hearts and in our lives. We must pursue God and His holiness. The Bible has the secret to joy and peace on earth. How? Only when we make peace with God, be reconciled to Him, and then having made peace with God, having been cleansed from our sins, we must grow to be more and more like Christ, more and more like Him, yearning for the kingdom to come, and desiring for the treasures of heaven. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 23. And it's good for us to turn to this passage. And I'll close with this passage. Let us turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 to 23. This is the secret to peace on earth. In the midst of many, many temptations of materialism, of fame and fortune, it causes us to be greedy, to lust after the flesh. This is the antidote. We want to have peace on earth. This is how we can have peace on earth right now as believers. Let's read together 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. Here it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Why would we want to pierce ourselves with many sorrows, pursuing after the things of this world? Let them all go and pursue after the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Yes, only when we make peace with God, and only when the Prince of Peace returns to establish peace on earth for 1,000 years. And may we all be ready and prepared when Jesus finally comes back. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for this reminder. Help us to have very sober hearts, Lord, to understand that the days that we live in on this earth are evil days and full of deception. Help us never to stray into the broad way, but to keep on in the narrow way that leads to life. And we pray You will keep us from all temptation, that You will preserve our steps, we will walk rightly with Thee. So, Lord, we want to consecrate our lives to Thee tonight. we confess our sins. And help us, Lord, to live on a higher spiritual plane in the new year. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.